us rise. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day the church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His Word and draws from it life and hope. Let us pray that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of His beloved Son and the power of His Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lenten time for us, so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. Let us kneel and be seated for the Litany.
Thank you. dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Lord, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Carnal dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Any dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Elizabeth, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. John, dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
Forgive us, renew us, and lead us,
and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, we see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading of our lessons.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the second chapter of Joel. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave the groom and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land, had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said, am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in everywhere, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. By truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As punished, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. According to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated for the sermon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Return to the Lord your God. It's the drumbeat of our Lenten series this year. Return. We hear God calling out to us, return to prayer. Return from betrayal. Return from false witness. Return from denial. Return to the kingdom of God. Return to the table. Return to truth. Return to the church. Return and see what God has done for you. And so as we launch this series, we gather together first to hear Joel's prophecy and God's invitation. Our Old Testament reading from Joel gets us oriented to the season. It highlights the problem and it lays out the solution in all its beauty and simplicity. God calls us to simply return to Him, because He will address our needs and provide for our salvation. Our task for today is simple. First, we'll look at Joel's prophecy and the context in which it came. What was going on? How did God's word speak to the situation? How might that have sounded to the people? Second, we'll think about whether this prophecy applies to us. Are these words only for the Israelites in Joel's day, or do they have something to offer us as well? Finally, we'll hear this invitation and promise offered to us and spend a little time getting oriented to how we'll walk down this path. Let's begin by doing a little time traveling back to ancient Israel, where we can get some idea of the people to whom Joel is speaking and understand more about what was going on in their world. We don't know a lot about Joel. He was a prophet, likely ministering in the southern kingdom of Judah. The book that bears his name is relatively short. It's only 73 verses divided into three chapters. But it's rich and deep and complex. His jumping off point is a plague of locusts that had or would strike Israel. And that served to foreshadow the coming day of the Lord. Whether that plague was literal or figurative is not clear. But Joel's message is straightforward. A day of judgment will come. And he pleads with the people to turn to God so they will be found righteous on that great and awesome day. The outline of Joel's prophecy is simple. Part one, there's an invasion of locusts that will destroy all vegetation. Joel calls the people to fast at the temple and then offers a prayer of lament over the coming destruction. Part two, if you thought that was bad, there's something even more significant coming. The day of the Lord is coming. It is near. Joel describes the Lord's army using the imagery of destroying locusts. He issues a call to return to the Lord and to fast and pray at the temple. Part three, God responds, first to the locust plague, offering healing and restoration. Then on a much bigger scale, God responds in the day of the Lord, giving salvation to those who call on His name and passing judgment on the worldly nations that have played fast and loose with God's chosen people. Our reading today is drawn right out of the center of the book. The imagery of the swarm of locusts has been completed. The comparisons of the Lord's army and the day of the Lord has been made. And the reader's left wondering, what can be done? It's a little like the scene of the rich young man as he approaches Jesus and asks, what good deed must he do to have eternal life? Jesus counsels the young man to sell all his possessions and give to the poor, presumably to undercut the man's love of money. And the young man goes away sad. Jesus turns to his disciples and explains how difficult it is for someone with wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" You almost hear Joel's audience asking the same of him. Who then can be saved? But Joel brings good news. He brings a promise. And it's simple. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They needed only to return to the Lord their God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. They need only to stop trusting in themselves and trust in God. They need only to realize that just as they couldn't stop the swarming locusts, neither would they be able to stop the judgment day. It will come. All will be affected. And the only solution is to return to the Lord. But are those words only for the Israelites? Might you be facing a swarm of locusts that threatens to completely destroy you? You certainly are. There are small, unassuming little things that each do a little bit of damage. But they add up to a destructive force that descends on the landscape and decimates every good thing in its path. Your sins are your locusts. And while one little locust doesn't seem all that terrifying, when your entire list of deeds is considered, it's breathtaking and terrifying indeed. If the wages of sin is death, and if, as Ezekiel says, the soul who sins shall die, then this locust swarm of your sins is frightening indeed. Joel's words can and should hit you the same way they hit the Israelites. The day of the Lord will come, and with it, immense destruction and terror. Of yourself, there's no way to escape it. The times you coveted your neighbor's property, when you spoke ill of your coworker or fellow student, when you helped yourself to the office supplies at work because you figured they owed it to you, when you ogled a guy and without a shirt on at the construction site, or had a little fling with the pretty young woman in accounting, when you lost your temper and screamed at the guy on the bike who didn't get out of your way, when you treated your father with contempt or dismissed your mother's request to clean up your mess, when you blew off worship because you didn't care to hear what that boring preacher had to say, when you strung together a string of curse words that would make a truck driver blush, when you decided that you knew better than God about everything. That's the swarm of locusts. And destruction of all the vegetation is the least of your worries. Eternal death and damnation should absolutely terrify you. Joel brings good news for you too. He brings a promise, and it's simple. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. In spite of your sinful rejection of God, he invites you to return to him and promises to bless you. Stop trusting in yourself and look to God. Know that you cannot stop the swarming locusts, and you can't stop the judgment. It will come. All will be affected. The only solution is to return to the Lord. Over the coming weeks, through online sermons, we'll explore more deeply how God's call to return plays out in our lives. And we'll do so by walking in the steps of the disciples and those who accompanied Jesus in the final days of his life. We'll hear the call to return as it echoes in their ears, and maybe come to understand it the way they did. Listen to God's call and return to him, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your thoughts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. With repentant hearts, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need, trusting that God is gracious and merciful to us in Jesus, abounding in steadfast love. For the church, that this Lenten season draws us closer to God and to one another as we focus on Jesus' redemptive acts for us and the life that he calls us to live, marked by repentance, fasting, prayer, and acts of love toward our neighbors. In prayer,
we return to you, O Lord.
For leaders throughout the world, that all leaders, national, regional, and local, serve with wisdom, uphold justice, and provide means of caring for those most vulnerable among us. In prayer,
we return to you, O Lord.
For those in our community who struggle with poverty, addiction, or unemployment, that during this Lenten time you re-energize your church to serve them and love our neighbors in need as you loved and served the poor and outcast during your earthly ministry. In prayer,
we return to you, O Lord.
For those who are sick, hospitalized, or dying, especially Dick, Carolyn, George, Deanna, Candy, Andrea, and that they experience healing according to your will, and then in the midst of their suffering, they would experience the presence of Jesus in words of hope and acts of care. In prayer,
we return to you, O Lord.
For this congregation, in our intensified repentance, fasting, and prayer, lead us to live in renewed ways, dying to sin with Christ in holy baptism each day, and being raised to new life as well every day and into eternity. In prayer,
we return to you, O Lord.
For our loved ones who faithfully follow Jesus in this life and are now with him in heaven, we give thanks. Bring us to that day when all your saints, past, present, and future, are returned to you for all eternity. In prayer,
we return to you, O Lord.
By the words of the prophets and by the living voice of Jesus in our ears, you call us to return to you, O Lord. According to your gracious mercy and abounding love, hear these prayers that we this day have spoken, as well as the prayers we have that are too deep for words, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve your true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Lord bless you.